And a really unusual couple of days, historic days, as the NBA players in the bubble have yesterday protested. They did not play their games. They boycotted, or they struck, or however you want to phrase that, because of the shooting of Jacob Blake in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And some people believe right step, smart move. They are going to come back and play after a vote last night. They woke up this morning and decided, okay, we're going to come back and play. That could be as soon as Saturday. But I think they accomplished a lot. People know. Now, I watch my fair share of cable news, John. And this
yes,
was a major.
You do.
This was a major story on cable news last night.
Hey, were you aware that there was something that existed in baseball called the Players Alliance?
No.
Neither was I. So they've just issued a statement, and this is just a, you know, maybe another example of how you chip away at something. On behalf of the more than 100 black current and former MLB players that make up the Players Alliance, we remain unified by our mission and dedicated to making real lasting change. Our players have collectively decided to donate their salaries on August 27th and 28th, which is Jackie Robinson Day this year, to the Players Alliance, supporting our efforts to combat racial inequality and to aid the black families and communities deeply affected in the wake of recent events. We cannot stand idly by and wait for change in our game or in our country. We encourage our allies and fans to join us in taking action. With your support, we can and will rewrite our story, creating a more equal world we can all live in together. So if Mookie Betts is given up, if Mookie's given up his salary,
right.
I bet you that's going to start a domino effect. I bet you like Kershaw will do it and Justin Turner will do it. And I'm sure David Price is already doing it. And, you know, so these are the types of things that can happen, all because the Bucks didn't take the court. That started that drumbeat I was talking about.
One action.
Yep.
And all of the dominoes have fallen. Here's Dominic Smith of the New York Mets, African American.
Okay, so
player.
Let me preface this with, if you talk to Buster or to Jeff Passan or to Clinton, anybody who covers baseball, I think Clinton did like a long form story on Dominic Smith.
Yeah, he did.
They'll tell you he is the most gregarious, life of the party baseball player that there is. Like, super outgoing, super fun. The clip you're about to play is the opposite of how he normally is. Now,
so
go ahead.
Here is Dominic Smith at a Mets press conference last night.
I think the most difficult part is to see, like, people still don't care. And for this to just continuously happen, I mean, it just shows just a hate in people's heart. And I mean that just sucks, you know. And being a black man in America is not easy. So I mean, like I said, you know, I wasn't there today, but I'll bounce back. I'll be fine.
I mean, this is just horrible. Doc Rivers basically on the verge of tears. Robert Ori and Dominic Smith in tears.
Yeah.
Watching this stuff, it's just brutal.
I was going to mention, you want to take a call? Go ahead.
All right, Ryan in San Diego. Hey, Ryan, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. I want to just voice my support for the NBA players and what they're doing. I don't know what more they can or can't do, and I don't know why people are complaining that they sat out. I think it's a very honorable thing what they did. And you know, like, what more can they do? The unity they showed is what America needs right now. And I also had a question for you guys. I heard you guys say that that you felt that the moves that were made yesterday kind of shook the world. Did anybody else cover that besides ESPN and obviously talk radio shows like you guys?
I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Mace, you said you were watching a lot of cable news, right?
In fact, that's what I was going to play going in. Charles Barkley was on with Brian Williams last night and talked about this pretty extensively. It's reached beyond the world of sports. And
Brian Williams, for people who don't know, is an anchor on MSNBC, right?
Yeah, he is. And Charles Barkley appeared with him last night. Here he is says it's just exhausting being black.
The bottom line, it's exhausting being black, especially when you're a celebrity. You know, I love Tom Brady, but nobody asked him about what's going on in white America. Nobody asked Luka Doncic what's going on in America. White players are, you know, they've been amazing, but they don't live with the pressure that these young black guys are going through every day. And if you look at the last couple of months, going back to Ahmaud Arbery, Mr. Floyd, you had the young lady who was screaming at the black guy in New York. Now you got Mr. Blake who just got shot. It's something all the time. I admire these guys for standing up, but Wolf, it's exhausting being black because there's a double standard when you're black. Because I have to comment on everything that happens in the black community. And same thing with LeBron, who's our most prominent player. But man, it's just, you get tired of something all the time.
And that, by the way, that is an excellent point, Mace. You know, I covered locker rooms for many, many years. Before I was a play-by-play guy, I was a sideline reporter. I was in the Laker locker room after every game. And star players get asked about these issues over and over, and this has been going on since Shaq and Kobe and Lamar and, you know, now LeBron and AD. And so for people like that are in the shut up and dribble crowd.
Yeah.
These guys get asked about this stuff every single day. It's not like they're out there, you know, inviting controversy. Barkley makes a great point. They're thrown into the middle of it all the time, and they're tired of it. They're tired of trying to explain why a guy got shot 7 times in the back because he was black. It just and they get asked about that stuff all the time. I don't know if anybody in the history of sports has handled celebrity better than LeBron has. I mean, the guy has started his own school.
Yep.
He started the whole more than an athlete movement. Have you looked at all the stuff he's doing to help promote voting?
Oh, yeah.
Spending millions of dollars getting, you know, just giving people an easier road to vote.
Right. He's converted a lot of big arenas in major cities into voting centers, or has worked with state officials to turn them into voting centers to create a larger polling places, more opportunities for people to vote, which is huge, because in a lot of places, there are not enough places to vote.
Here's Bo in Orange County. Bo is a former police officer and wants to weigh in on some of the things we've been talking about. Hey, Bo, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good, man, and we appreciate you calling in. What's your take on what happened with Jacob Blake?
So I was a police officer in a coastal community in Orange County for 12 years. I think you can probably pick it out. It's got a really nice coastal golf course.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, so our city, you know, pretty much reflected the demographics of the city with the makeup, you know, of the officers. But I personally am a minority, and I worked there for a while. And just from my observations, I can say that whenever we did pull over African Americans in the city, it was odd, but people became tense. The officers became tense, and it was different than pulling over other people when it was especially African Americans. And I don't know why this is. I don't know why, you know, this is happening, but it's reality, and we have to accept it. Another thing that's happened within the department is that after our current president came into office, there's been a massive shift with police officers joining these random fringe groups on the far right. And it boggles my mind because for me, I look at them and I go, these people are just, you know, preaching hate. And I don't understand why. And it seems to be happening to police officers, but why are they so attracted to this? And it makes no sense.
Bo, first of all, thank you for taking the time to call in. Second of all, let me ask you about excessive force. Have you seen the Jacob Blake tape?
Oh, absolutely. I watched it and watched it with my wife, and I'm just like, oh my God. I mean, you know, for myself, I the last thing I would want to do is pull, you know, my firearm and shoot someone 7 times in the back. I mean, for me, I'd rather tackle the dude, get him on the floor. I mean, it just was so unnecessary. It just didn't need to happen. And, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, when officers pull over, and I hate to say it, African Americans, everything just becomes much more tense. And, you know, officers have this innate fear, you know, just within them that's ingrained. And that's the problem, you know. A lot of them say, you know, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. You know, I mean, that is just a ridiculous outlook. But, I mean, that's the way, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of law enforcement, at least from what I've seen, see it. And it's sad and it's pervasive. And, you know, it's really, really, you know, difficult. And then another thing I wanted to bring up is that, you know, when excessive force does happen, or things like, you know, Jacob Blake, the shooting dude, does happen, you yep. have to remember that who investigates, you know, these, I'll call it a crime, who investigates it? It's the police department.
It's the police itself, attorney. Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the problem.
It's the police itself. So, I mean, you know, if somebody does create a, you know, somebody, you know, does a crime, think about it. You have the people accusing you of a crime investigating that crime, and they're going to do everything within their power to prove that crime. So, you know, I was explaining this to my wife, and I was like, you know, this isn't about defunding the police. If people, you know, want to defund the police, there needs to be an independent investigative body that looks into, you know, supposed crimes. You can't have the police and the DA investigating these things, because their whole goal is to convict.
Right.
I mean, think about that.
So it's Bo, right?
Yep.
What was that expression you said? Rather be judged
I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Wow. That's a fascinating quote. And you know what? You're a great call. That's absolutely fascinating. It confirms sort of what we're talking about, is that the officers that you know and you worked with react differently when they pull over a black driver as opposed to when they pull over a white driver.
Yeah, it's both. I mean, go ahead. Sorry.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, I see it all the time, and it, you know, I've been through it a bunch of times, and it's like, you know, see someone on PCH, you know, looks at a place, what's going on. I mean, you know, and people get tense, you know, officers yep. get tense.
Well,
and
Bo, thank you for doing this.
Bo, thanks a lot,
man.
That's really good stuff. Yeah, thank you very much for ringing us up.
I hope you call again sometime. Okay, coming up later this hour, Matt Barnes, we're still taking your phone calls. We'll do that next, 877-710-ESPN.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, thanks a lot for being out there. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks a lot for joining us in our new time slot, or old time slot, middays, 1 to 4 every day. The lineup, I think, right now is fantastic here at the station. You got Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning, followed by Mike Greenberg, followed by Max Kellerman, then me and John, then LZ and George, and then Scott Kaplan. They've done a great job of reassembling a lineup that I think we can all be excited about.
And we're taking your phone calls. We're leading up to Matt Barnes in 15 minutes. Matt's very well spoken on this subject.
Yes, he is.
Here is DeAndre in Inglewood. Hey, DeAndre, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
How you doing, guys?
Good,
DeAndre. All right, man.
All right. So as a former military member who was in security, who was armed up on the ship, it's definitely protocols that these guys are not doing. And ultimately, me being from Inglewood and me being African-American, I deal with this on a daily basis. I believe not all white officers, but majority of them are scared. They're scared of us. For what reason, I do not know, but they're scared of us more than we're scared of them.
Interesting.
Have you had a direct experience?
Countless times. I can't even tell you how many times. I drive a nice car, so that's another thing. I've been pulled over for no reason.
DWB, driving while exactly. black. Yeah.
Exactly. It's just part. We got to learn how to deal with it. We learned how to deal with it. It just comes with the territory of us being black in America.
Hey, it's been, DeAndre, as somebody who dealt with security, that we're right when we say that they fired way too early on Jacob Blake, right? I mean, they're
110%. There is they get cards on how to use excessive force, which step. They go step by step. I believe it's 7 steps to escalate use of force. And they just bypassed all of those and went straight to shooting this man in the back. That's such a coward move to me. That's such a coward move.
Yeah.
Shoot him in the back.
Yeah, 7 times. I mean, like, not one probably would have done it. DeAndre, thank you for taking the time to call in.
You know,
thank you guys
by the way, thanks, man. You know, the one thing that this defund the police thing, I want to just mention this again, because this is now a popular thing, particularly on the left, this idea of defunding the police, which I couldn't disagree with more. I think it's time to invest in police officers. I think it's time to invest in more training, more understanding on an annual basis of how to avoid escalating situations like this. I think it's time to invest in the police and particularly in their training.
I think that training is going to be a word you're going to hear a lot. It seems to me, Mace, that there's just a commitment to decency that would solve about half of these problems. That, you know, like Jacob Blake, we shouldn't have to tell people don't shoot a guy 7 times in the back. You know what I mean? I mean, there's just common sense there that doesn't make any sense. Here's Richard in Anaheim. Hey, Richard, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, John. Hey, Steve. I love you guys. I listen to you every day. I'm a mail carrier in the city of Anaheim, so I've seen.
Thank you, man. I'm a big supporter of the Postal Service.
All right. I appreciate that. We need you guys. I've been here for 23 years doing this job, and never has it been this crazy, the job or, you know, the way things are in society now.
The world has never been this crazy.
The world. Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I deliver here in the heart of Anaheim, this city hall in that area, the area around the police station. So I've seen all the protests, the marches. You know, they shut down basically my entire route, got boarded up because of fears of looting and everything else. And but my take is I agree with the defunding is like the worst thing you could do. The training is what needs to happen. I'm an Hispanic person, and I'm 49 now. So I grew up in the 80s. I remember the Rampart stuff. I had an uncle who was an LAPD in the Rampart Division, I believe it was, one of the real bad ones. And the police. Even for myself, when I would get pulled over in my younger days, I used to be really into cars and car clubs and that sort of thing. Don't have a single tattoo on my body. I never don't have a shaved head. The typical stuff that police look for or think that looks like, you know what I mean?
That looks like
a gangbanger. And, but if I ever got pulled over, it was sit on the curb, search my car. And I would ask, you know, what's going on? Why are you guys doing this? We're looking, you know, never mind. They're really rude with you. And these weren't just white cops. These were Hispanic cops, too. So Hispanic cops towards Hispanic people, and depending on the community you live in.
Yep.
Of course, the city you live in. Here, we live in Los Angeles and California, where it's so diverse. There's everything. You know, every race is represented in California. We're blessed to live in the state.
Yep.
Other states where it's not so diverse, it's not going to be the same. But for myself, just as an Hispanic, I'm not trying to say that I understand what the black people are going through. But I've seen it in my own way firsthand. You get pulled over, they're looking for your car, they sit you on the ground, they toss everything around, they look under the seats, they they treat you like a criminal before you haven't even done anything, and you get treated like a criminal. So maybe
right.
I would agree the training would be, you know, huge to train them how to be compassionate, how to treat people like human beings before you start treating them like criminals.
It's
just the mindset of the police is wrong. The way they react is wrong. I see them here pulling over people, and then if, you know, people come out. Now the thing is, another great thing is everybody has a cell phone, so everybody's a reporter now.
Yeah, it's true.
Because the cops can see this, and then they know, and it still happens anyway, but could you imagine how much more it would happen if there weren't 20 people standing around outside?
By the way, the thing I – pre-cell phone, can you imagine how many incidents like this there were?
Oh.
Before anybody had phones.
You probably still are.
Just in my neighborhood, any of my friends could tell you that they were roughed up by cops. Any of them. And they would even pre-cell phone, you know, like I said, I'm 49, so I'm of the generation that was pre-cell phone. It was beyond common. You can't even explain how systematic it is. I mean, you hate to almost use the word corruption because you think of, like, third world countries, but it is corrupt. My uncle worked in the law enforcement, and he ended up he couldn't stand being the patrolman, so he became a detective. Because he said he could make more of a difference doing that. Out on patrol, and then the blue code, the same thing. If you can't speak up, you can't point out
right.
the bad cops, because if you do, you will get burned. And then what's, you know, how can you speak out against an officer, a person with a gun, when you feel threatened by them? So it's like a no-win situation. It's a catch-22.
Yep.
Training would be the best thing, but, I mean, just weed out the bad seeds. Get some kind of outside investigative force, like you said, and then this has got to be zero tolerance. I mean, I forget which one it was, but 6-7 times they had been, you know, reprimanded.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in the end, you know, if you have a bad day at work, or if I do a bad show, there are no repercussions, right? If you're a police officer and you do a bad job, somebody could be dead.
Yeah,
that's the
difference.
You've got to get it right every time.
Doing something wrong or much worse, yeah.
Yeah, thanks very much for taking the time to call in.
Thank you, guys. I love listening to you guys, and keep up the good work, man.
Nice to see you. Right,
thanks.
Thanks, Mace, man.
The Dodgers have exploded for 4 runs in the fourth.
Yes.
They now lead 5-0 in game 1 of a doubleheader. In San Francisco. They'll play game 2 later this afternoon. And coming up next, Matt Barnes, former NBA player for both the Lakers and the Clippers. I think Matt had a 13-year career in the NBA. He was on the jump, been on the jump this week. He's very, very outspoken on the issues over the past 2 days, and so he'll join us coming up.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, NBA players, this is David Aldridge. NBA players and the NBA's Board of Governors currently meeting to discuss the next steps after today's and Wednesday's postponements of games. So that meeting is going on right now. We could conceivably have some sort of statement from that meeting that comes out before we leave the air at 4 o'clock today.
And one of the most conscientious NBA players on social issues and pretty much anything is our friend Matt Barnes, who started UCLA, played for the Lakers, played for the Clippers, won a ring at Golden State, and is nice enough to join us now. Matt, thank you for doing this, man. Let me start with this. Had you been in that meeting last night in the bubble, is there anything you would have said or something you would have liked to see addressed that they didn't address, or do you think they pretty much got it right?
I'm not necessarily sure what they addressed. I know that, you know, they had a few conversations. I think the emotions were high last night. But I also have a feeling that these guys understand that their message is much louder and has a much broader reach with the logo behind it and from the bubble. You know, if they decided to leave, you know, we would still hear from LeBron. We'd probably still hear from Chris. But do we hear Doc Rivers, plea the other day. Do we hear, George Hill? So I think they understand right now, their message is going where it needs to go, and I think they made the right move.
Matt Barnes is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. So here these guys are. They're in this bubble. There's some isolation. Paul George talked this week about some depression and some anxiety. How do you think that fed into what we've seen in the past 24 hours?
These guys are asked to do a lot. I think people think because we make a lot of money that we're not human, but we're still human. These guys have been taken away from their children, from their families, their friends, isolated in the bubble to play basketball, while seemingly the rest of the world is kind of heading in the wrong direction. It's a lot. And, for these guys to stand up yesterday and boycott, I love it. But now the next day, the whole world's looking at them like, what's next? Why are the NBA players in charge of fixing stuff that they didn't create? Although we're more than hip to do our part and ready to do our part, the world is looking to the NBA to all of a sudden make a decision that's going to abolish racism or make cops stop shooting unarmed African Americans. All this stuff is going to be a process, and I think people have to understand that. And we understand right now that the message is much louder from the bubble. So what I'm understanding, though, is these meetings, the meeting that's taking place now is, they're trying to have some kind of dialogue with the owners and how much more the owners are going to really stand on the same line as these players, because a lot of these owners are on complete opposite sides in life and don't necessarily align with these players. So there's going to be some interesting conversation going on today.
Matt Barnes is our guest. And Matt, what would you like to see them do with the platform moving forward? In other words, you're pretty good at pointing out, look, it's not just necessarily what you're saying, it's how you implement change. What would be the best way for them to do that? What would you like to see them do with this bubble platform for the month, 2 months that they have left?
I love what they're doing. Personally, I would like to see, possibly, I know they have a lot of stuff going on in the bubble, is the playoffs, you want to focus on that. But I would like to maybe see some guys have some messaging to encourage, voting, content, explaining bills and swing states, just little small things, short form content that maybe their fans, it only take, your favorite player puts something out, it sparks your mind, and then, we're on the same page. And I think they've done a great job with people registering to vote and LeBron and everything he's doing with paying for felons and hiring more poll workers. We're up against the monster right now, but I love the progress the players have made, and now these guys want the owners to match that same energy. The owners put up $300 million, and with all due respect, that's nothing compared, from 30 billionaires. You know what I mean? So I think they need to toe that front line a little harder and really be about helping these communities that a lot of these players came from.
Yeah, how do you get ownership? Because these are, as you mentioned, some of the wealthiest guys in the world. How do you get ownership to not just give money, but to take action? Like, for example, the Milwaukee Bucks players talked to the Attorney General of the state of Wisconsin yesterday. How do you get owners to become involved in the legislative process?
Have a conversation with them. Like you mentioned, these guys are billionaires, so obviously with that kind of money comes political ties and power as well. So, some of the same guys, like I mentioned, are completely on the opposite line of where the players are standing up for and fighting for. So like I said, there has to be some sort of synergy. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but, these are your players. You're supposed to, love them unconditionally. They make you a lot of money. You got to at least hear them out and try to meet them somewhere in the middle, because, like I said, a lot of these owners have sat on their hands and kept their mouth shut when normally they would speak on other issues.
We're talking to Matt Barnes about everything that's going on in the bubble. Matt, this will be the first time in 2 days that we've actually asked anybody a basketball question. But since you played for both the Lakers and the Clippers, let me ask, in the basketball you saw before yesterday's shutdown, were you more – both the Lakers and the Clippers look fantastic in their last wins. They each have a chance when they take the court again to get out of the first round. Do you think one team looks better than the other?
No, I think they both have their peaks and valleys. Those are my two teams. I feel like going back to LA with one of those teams. Neither can go wrong. Obviously, Lakers, I'd love them to do it in honor of Kobe and LeBron to get another ring. for this franchise. But then, you know, I'm a Clipper fan, and we took pride in that Lob City era of trying to do a lot of firsts for this team. I feel like this is probably one of the best teams that the Clippers organization has ever had, if not the best. And because of their depth and dogs and coach, I'm going with the Clippers. But you can never rule out the Lakers because of LeBron and AD.
Matt Barnes is with us, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. I ask a basketball question myself. So John and I have a debate. I think there are three teams that can win the championship: Clippers, Lakers, Bucks. He includes Toronto and a half for Houston, an outside shot for Houston. How many teams in Orlando can actually win the championship?
I feel like the Lakers and the Clippers are both capable. I'm not as high on Milwaukee, to be honest with you. To me, I feel they're upset prone. I think obviously you know what you're going to get with Giannis. Do we consistently know what we're going to get from their second and third scores? I think Miami matches up really well with them. But I also like Toronto and Boston. Boston was my sleeper. Toronto's played absolutely amazing. I was someone who doubted them early in the season and apologized to the whole to all of our friends up north. Toronto's been amazing. So I think, to be honest with you, that the East is going to be represented out of the winner of Toronto and the Celtics.
Matt, we're biased because we live in L.A. I thought AD had a chance to win Defensive Player of the Year. He lost it to Giannis. It looks like Giannis might win MVP over LeBron. Are you okay with that? As somebody who watches the league and played in the league and played against some of these guys, does Giannis deserve to win them both, or should one of those Laker guys have ended up with one of those awards?
It's hard to say. You know, I know this Laker team, they're more focused on winning a championship. But, you know, it's kind of like when Kobe played. And to tell me that Kobe only got one, right, if I'm not mistaken?
One MVP, right.
Yep.
2008.
It's unbelievable to me. You know, I think the NBA was always kind of looking to move that around to bring different crowds. And obviously they know if, you know, Giannis, you know, when Giannis won, they're bringing a whole another audience from, you know, another country in. And that's not to say he didn't deserve it by any means. He's definitely one of the best players. So it's kind of a tough situation. I know I haven't spoke to the guys, but I'm sure they're pretty focused on winning the championship. But if any, I haven't seen someone do what LeBron's been able to do at his age. He always has to remind people every once in a while how good he is. But he's still, you know, the best player on the planet. And it's going to be hard to say. So we'll see.
Well, listen, Matt, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much. I know there are a lot of demands on your time right now, but thanks for making a couple of minutes for us. We appreciate it.
No problem, Phil. Have a good one.
Cool. There's Matt Barnes.
All right, we'll take more of your focus. By the way, George Karl, former NBA coach George Karl, is going to join us next hour. But we'll get more of your phone calls in as you react to the news of the day. We still do not know when the NBA playoffs will resume. We've heard speculation that it might be Saturday. A few people say outside chance it could be Friday. We're hoping that we receive some direction before the end of the show, or certainly during Sedano and LZ's show, but we're keeping an eye on that. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 877-710-3776. 877-710-ESPN.
Just to follow up on that, as I mentioned, David Aldridge, we talked about when play will resume. NBA players and NBA's Board of Governors currently meeting to discuss next steps. And the NFL, which had a number of teams cancel practice today, the Lions canceled practice yesterday, a number of teams canceled practice today, they've released a statement, NFL and NFLPA joint statement. NFL community is united more than ever to support one another in these challenging times. We share anger and frustration, most recently as a result of the shooting of Jacob Blake. While our passions continue to run high, we are proud that our players and we are proud of our players and clubs, league and union. They're taking the time to have the difficult conversations about these issues that affect the Black community and other communities of color in America. We're especially encouraged that these conversations are about how we can come together to make the necessary and long overdue changes in our country. We will continue to not only use our collective platform to call out racism and injustice wherever and and whenever and wherever it occurs in our country, but also fight together to eradicate it. So the NFL releasing a joint statement with the NFLPA. A number of teams canceled practice today. There was at least one other. I think the Red Sox voted to not play today. Is that right, Lindsay?
I know the Twins
are not
playing.
I think there
today.
Were three games. Let me find out which ones exactly.
Three games were postponed, you think?
Yep.
So baseball continuing to react to the shooting of Justin Blake. More of your calls coming up, 877-710-ESPN.
Jacob Blake, right?
Jacob Blake. I'm sorry, what did I say?
Justin.
Yeah, Jacob Blake. All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate you. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. A lot of participation today on Twitter, at Venice Mace, at LA Ireland. On the phones, 877-710 ESPN. We are waiting to find out exactly when the NBA playoffs will resume. In the meantime, the NHL has canceled all games for today, or postponed all games, and there are three more Major League Baseball games that have been postponed. And, John, the most interesting thing is, the lesson here is it only takes one. It only takes one. The Milwaukee Bucks yesterday decided, you know what, we're going to boycott this game. And because of that, had they not done that, I don't know that any of the rest of this stuff would have happened.
No question. They started a movement, and then everybody else just followed. Here is Luis in Pomona, who wants to weigh in on all this. Hey, Luis.
Hey, Luis.
You're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Luis.
I just wanted to give my, my 10 cents on this whole thing.
Yeah.
When the players boycotted the games and stuff and doing all of that, I was behind them, man. Like, I don't blame them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think the main reason is that basketball and sports in general, I feel, you know, I'm a big fan of sports and everything, but they're like a double-edged sword, like in this current times.
What do you mean? They're a double-edged sword?
Yeah. Because, yes, you know, like, we're going through a pandemic, and, you know, we want to, like, take our minds off of it, and, you know, like, sports is, like, a way to do it, you know? But at the same time, we're going through, like, social injustice, racial inequality, and I feel like, in a way, you know, playoffs and, you know, the NBA, the MLB, like, they're, in a way, keeping people, you know, in La La Land, like in a way, keeping us distracted from what the real issues are and what the main.
So you're saying you think sports should be diversion and not political?
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, because our main focus, you know, it should be more about, you know, focusing on society and what's going on society, and, you know, and like fixing our issues first, you know, like. I'm a big Laker fan. I'm a big fan of everything involved sports, and I love sports to the heart, you know. But I don't mind, you know, losing a season of playoffs, even though I know my Lakers were probably going to be, like, the favorites to win it all.
Yep.
And we will probably win it. But I don't mind, you know, losing one season, because I know that losing one season is not going to continue killing people.
Right.
But I know if we don't do anything right now, it might continue killing people, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't even think it starts with the police. I don't even think it starts with them, because I hear you guys all day.
Yep.
And a lot of people, you know, have been calling, and I've been trying to get on the air since, like, yesterday, and people are like, defund the police or whatever, you know? Nah, it doesn't even start there. If anything, we need to put more money into the police, reform the police,
yep,
train them better. You know, because I have a friend that's a cop, And I was actually talking to him about yesterday, and we talked about it, and I was like, yeah, like, we don't know what the cop was going through, you know? We could only, you know so much the facts and, like, what the Department of Justice, you know, brings out, but we don't know what he was going through, you know? It's only him.
Yep.
And we need to get on his shoes, you know? Because yep. It's your life, you know, at the end of the day, you want to come home to your family. You know, it's your life or, you know, or his. And if, I don't know if this guy was pulling out a knife or a gun or whatever it was, but at the end of the day, if you're in jeopardy of coming home, like, I don't think, you know, like, cops face people at the worst state, you know?
Sure.
And I don't blame them, man.
All right. Hey, listen, thank you for the phone call. By the way, you know, I think we should, I mean, it goes without saying. It really does, but we should say it anyway. The vast majority of cops are really good cops.
Right, but it only takes a couple of bad ones to end up with a Jacob Blake situation. Here's Mike in L.A. Hey, Mike, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Hi, Mike.
Good, Mike. How are you?
All right, let me tell you what's really going on, because I'm from the streets. I've been in the streets all my life. I got no felonies.
Now, when you say you're from the streets, what do you mean?
Yes, I'm from the streets. I work off the streets of Compton, Watts, South Central, East L.A.
Got it.
And in the jail part, people got us, and just, have you ever been in jail? They separate everybody.
Yeah, I've never been in jail, thankfully.
Yeah, they separated everybody. So they got everybody separated, right? And then they got the blacks, the Latinos, the paisas, and the woods. So it's the cops' fault in this, the way that we are put in prison. That's one thing. And then in the streets, the reason why black people get shot a lot is because it's the reputation. I've been out hustling legit. I got kids. I have no felonies, no gangs. I go out hustling legit. And I get bad rep from black people. Always robbing me, taking my chain. I would help them, and they still do the same. They got a bad reputation. They always had a bad reputation. I'm from East L.A. streets.
Yep.
I lived in Watts, Compton. And they always have a bad reputation.
Okay, but how did the police handle your situation?
I go to the police station, and then they send me to different divisions. Oh, you got to talk to them. Oh, you got to talk to them.
Right.
Because they know it's kind of like a, how you say it? It's more, it's a government thing. You know what I mean? They don't want to get involved in certain different areas.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate it, man. And yeah, I mean, you know, everybody brings a different life experience to this. John, you've never been arrested, have you?
No, and it just, to me, there's a different attitude from the second they see that the person they're dealing with is black.
Yeah, that was that great call from Bo a little while ago. Shout him out again. You know, he says that in his experience as an officer, when they pull over an African American driver, they get tense. Officers get tense, and that doesn't happen when they pull over a white driver. And that intensity, that nervousness, if you will, is the reason why we see the incidents that we see. There is a prejudgment made by certain police officers about somebody that they pull over. And that prejudgment can be completely wrong, and it can still lead to something ugly and deadly. And we've seen far too much of that, far too much of that. But it is that prejudgment and that nervousness that goes along with approaching a black driver.
Let's get Curtis from Whittier in here. Hey, Curtis, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, hey, Curtis.
Yeah, I got two things. One, I was at work probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and me and coworkers were talking in the lunchroom, black coworkers, and we were talking about how many times we had been pulled over. And we were like, well, I stopped counting at 20, I stopped counting at 25. And then a white coworker walks in, and we say, hey, how many times have you been pulled over by the cop? Well, I got pulled over for a ticket. No. Not for a ticket, for no reason. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, see, there you go. He's white. He don't get pulled over for for just nothing. Another thing, ask your listeners that don't get it, would you like to be treated how black people have been treated in the last 100 years?
Yeah.
There you go. The answer is no. The second one, would you like to be treated how black people have been treated in the last 50 years? It'll be no. 10 years, no. 5, 1 year, 1 year, no. 6 months, no. So if they're all answering no, then they actually know that there's a problem. I heard that from a lady who was teaching a lecture. I can't remember her name, but she was teaching a lecture in college. And that was the question that she proposed to all the white kids in the audience. They, nobody raised their hand. So there's a problem, and everybody knows it.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That's my take on everything. Hey, I appreciate you guys. Keep doing what you do, and I love you guys.
All right, cool, man. Love you back. Thank you very much.
Wow. It is eye-opening that this is this prevalent of a problem, and yet we've all kind of just allowed it to go on.
Stopped counting at 20, he said. He stopped counting the number of times he got pulled over after he got to 20.
Crazy.
I mean, I haven't been pulled over in years.
Well, that's because you get a new car from John Patterson every 2 years.
It does help. It does help. But mostly it helps because I'm white.
Yep, true. All right, 877-710-ESPN if you want to weigh in on this. George Karl, the former NBA head coach, is going to join us coming up next hour.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.